speak from memory. Okay,
oh,
okay,
okay,
let's talk about Chomet She'ovar Olov HaPesach. Chomet She'ovar HaPesach. Are you allowed today to go? And let us say, for example, the person was Chas V'Sholom, was Nichshol and did not sell his Chomet to a guy. For whatever the reason. For whatever reason he forgot. There's a rabbi, there is such a thing. There is such a thing where, yes, you're very good question. My father was a Rav. This is a very common shaila where a Bala Boss does not show up to sell through the rabbi. You don't sell your chametz to the rabbi. You sell the chametz to the good. The rabbi is a shliach. But let's say, you don't have this today. Today we live in a very different world. But if you just even go back 20 years ago, it was very common where they were kihilois, even in Tlapush, and they were rabbonim, and they were balabatim, and the balabatim, they had a certain close relationship with their rabbi. And one of the rituals every year is you go to the rabbi and you make the rabbi an agent to sell your chametz. And the rabbi looks at the list of people who came to him, and he notices there's one particular balabas did not come. So if there's a fight going on in shul, and the balabas wants to make a declaration of war, that's the best way you can declare war. The best way you declare war against the rabbi is you don't submit to the rabbi by coming and selling your chametz to the guys of the rabbi. That's a very good technique to declare war on the rabbi. You want to make a statement to the rabbi, you should know your contract is coming up for renewal, and I will not vote. I'm on the board, and I'm a very influential person on the board, and you should know that I am not going to vote for the renewal of your contract. And the way I want to make it known to you is the year before the contract is up for renewal, this particular balabas does not come to the rabbi in the days before Pesach to sell him the chametz. Okay, but that's not the case. The case is the balabas, a very good balabas, and he just doesn't show up. He doesn't show up. Why not? So the rabbi, a good rabbi, will call him up. Everything okay? How come he didn't come? What's going on? Let's say the rabbi is super duper busy. He's just busy beyond belief. And he forgets. And then the very last moment comes time to the mechira. The rabbi realized that there were a couple of balabatim, or maybe whatever, they just didn't come and sell the chametz. No, they get older. They're older. They're zakenim. This that.
During
COVID, whatever the reasons are. So there are many teshuvos written about this, is that the rabbi has the right to anyway sell their chametz. And he tells the guy, there are certain people on my list, for whatever reason, they didn't show up this year. Anyone that was on my list last year and the year before, they're included in the sale. They're included in the sale. There is such a principle, there is something like that. I once heard a really wild child.
The first year I was a rabbi, I got a couple. I didn't know the people yet, and halavoid, I got a couple of checks in the mail.
I once heard the wildest psak halacha. I know the end of the story, and I know it's a true story. He was a rabbi, and he had a small shul. But he had a collection of the papers of all the people that come to sell chametz, and it was Erev Pesach, and he gives it over to another rabbi, a big rabbi who does the mechira, and he goes in the morning to find the papers. He can't find it. you go to the rabbi, you fill all the papers, and the rabbi has a big envelope, a big folder of all the papers. The rabbi cannot find the papers. All the balabatim came to sell, he made the kinyanim, and he wrote down, cannot find the shtaros. And he's looking, and he's stopping in the cleaning, in the Pesach cleaning, someone took it through the garbage or someone put it away somewhere, cannot find the papers. He's literally going out of his mind. And he said he confided in someone who told me the story that he was really afraid. You know what was going through his mind the whole time that morning? This is what he said. He said, I wasn't so afraid of the halacha. I was afraid that if the balabatim will find out, they will fire me. I will lose my parnasa. I need this upon my parnasa. And if another parnasa will be a bushel chlima, I was more afraid of my parnasa than I was afraid of bal yeirah and bal yimotze. That's what he told someone later on. So he was mamish in a panic. Panic, panic, panic. He called up Rav David Cohen. Gvul Yavetz. And he told him, I can't find the shtaros, so what am I going to do? So he said to him, doesn't matter. you go to the guy, and you tell the guy that I have somewhere I have the stars. Somewhere, it may be on the way to maybe on the way to the garbage dump somewhere, but they're out there somewhere. The stories are out there in the Welt somewhere. Eventually we'll find it, and they're included in the sale. That's what he told them to do. And he said it's perfectly fine. It's not mistaken if someone threw it out, it's just misplaced. You'll find it. It's in tell the guy, it's included. We have a collection of stories. Somehow they got misplaced, but it's somewhere, it's included in the sale. Good, it's fine. So the answer to your question is in Echad Amim Tudio, a lot of things that people do, a lot of incredible leniencies that go on in Mechirat Chametz.
The guy has a right to go, and he doesn't know where to come to the stores, or has he have the right
we'll find
to
it. Eventually we'll find the stores. So we could assume that we'll find the shtaros, and when the shtaros will be found, the guy at all of the chametz that belong that are in these locations, and we should know when the rabbi does the mechira, there are a lot of there are different types of mechiras. There are some mechiras that are better than others. We'll talk about that in a few moments. There are some mechiras that are very, very disappointing. Okay, and I once my father, Zechariah Levrach, was very, very into this. He loved this. He thrived on this. He had his own shtaros, and he had all these kinyanim, and he had very intelligent goyim many, many years, not all the years, but many years he had some brilliant goyim, and they really understood in detail what exactly is going on, and he had a bezdin, and he had aidin. He was very into this. And I thought all rabbanim are into this. And then once I came across, I watched on YouTube, they said that even like in yeshiva world or whatever, of the rav selling the chametz to the goyim. And I was so disappointed. I was literally shocked how shabby the sale was. And I was like, what? That's how they sell it? Like, I was used to my father, an intelligent, very intelligent guy. Father had a very complicated shtar written up in English. He wrote in English with all the kinyanim, and he had a bezdin of choshva people, and everything was explained in perfect English. It was a very dignified ceremony. Very dignified. I watched on YouTube, Choshe Rabbanim, and these kids sitting around. It was like, what? This is... It was very, very disappointing. Well, that's how it is. None of my business. In any event, what? No, it's not a matter of couldn't find intelligent guys. They don't want to find them. It's just a lack of dignity. Today, what we suffer from in this generation is dignity. Everything today is just watered down. You go to a wedding, you can't even hear what's going on. Everyone is talking, yapping away. You go to shul, everyone comes late, everyone leaves early. There's an absence of dignity, and it comes out in everything that we do. Everything.
And civility.
Civility and dignity. And when it comes to mechiras chametz, oh, you get the guy, the janitor, who doesn't even talk English and doesn't know what's going on. You just don't this. You get a couple of bucks. Come on. That's how you do mechiras chametz. Does it work? Yeah, it works. It works. But, you know, there's more to life than just going through the motions. In any event, there are a lot of things that go into mechiras chametz to cover all different types of situations. As you said, as Heshi said, is if you forget, if even a regular customers doesn't show up, the rabbi says, you know, I have people here in the synagogue that may have forgotten to come to me. They may have forgotten they're part of the synagogue. They're members, they're not members. They usually come to me this year for some reason. They didn't show up. You know, there's a precedent for this. Erev Tavshilin. If you don't make an Erev Tavshilin, what is the halacha? You rely on the Rav. The Rav goes, I'm making an Erev Tavshilin for all those people who forgot. So it's no different. The rabbi says, I'm selling the chametz for all of the people in my community who forgot. People get tired, especially older people, zikanim. They're not 100%. They're very tired with their health and this and that. They could forget. They can lapse. A good rabbi, you know, he keeps track of all these people, older people. Sometimes you forget. So you tell the guy, no different Erev Tavshilin. Takonas Chazal, you make an Erev Tavshilin for people who forget. Okay, even when you sell the chametz to the guy, let's say Erev Pesach, you couldn't have your order. Where's the chametz stored? Well, it's in the attic and it's in this closet. Oh, Erev Pesach, you need another shelf. You know, we're going to go sell stuff in the refrigerator this year. We don't want to go throw this stuff out. It's good stuff. So why should we throw it out? So we'll take, we'll just cover up one shelf in the refrigerator. Oh, but I didn't put it in the shtar. I didn't put it in the shtar. So you go call up the rabbi. So the rabbi has nothing better to do. Better to do Erev Pesach. Rabbi, I forgot to tell you. Go find my shtar and go fill it in the shtar that also add the bottom of the refrigerator one shelf where I cover it up. Think the rabbi has something better, nothing else to do for you. Go find your shtar and to go write that in. There's a condition that my balabatim, they wrote down over here the location, but you should know that many of my balabatim, they forget to write in every single location. Any location that they have marked off, they have set aside, that's not on the shtar, it has to be included in the mechira as well. Mm-hmm. It's also going to be included. Anything which the balabas, he put aside in a certain area, that's also included in the mechira. These are all these conditions. And what happens in Mitzvah Pesach? If the guy doesn't show up, the guy doesn't show up. Happens all the time. You tell the guy 100 times, you know, after Passover, you better be here at 9 o'clock. We want to continue the transaction. You know how the transaction works. The way the transaction works is the guy gives the deposit. We have all of the chametz. There are different techniques. There are different mahalchim how you do this. So basically, the common denominator, very common, is you tell the guy we have all the stuff, and we don't really know how much it's worth. Some rabbis try to give like a very rough estimate. But whatever it's worth. But we want you to own every morsel of this chametz. And we're not going to charge you now the full value. Just give a deposit. A deposit. You give me $20. The chametz may be worth $50,000.
You give the $20.
You give the guy in advance the $20. You give him a present before you start. Yeah. Before you start, you give the guy, before you start, let's say you give the guy, maybe you give the guy $100. And then you say to him, give me a deposit of $20 for the chametz. And then also, give me another deposit for the property. King Agav, they rent the location where it rests on. You keep on asking the guy to give you money. So before you start, I want to give you a gift. He's such a nice guy, you know, my neighbor. Here's a gift for you. Here's $100. You're my good friend, Johnny boy. You're my good friend. And then what happens? You know, we're selling you all this chametz. Good stuff here. Got some whiskey and some a quarter of a box of Cheerios. Honey Nut Cheerios. We have in the shul yet some delicious leftover Raisin Bran. Right? Don't you want to buy this? I'm giving you a great deal. A great deal. We'll give you a great deal. How much is it? Well, we'll figure that out when Yom Tov is over. In the meantime, just give me a deposit for $20. And then when the holiday is over, we will make an evaluation. So you go, you give this a whole, it's a very long, the many things that I've done. And then you tell, when you finish the book, you say, and you tell them, when it's, okay, we have to, everything is sold, you own everything, and you've rented all of the territory where this leave-in is resting, and you've given the deposit. When the holiday is over, we will continue the process. When the holiday is over, we're going to appoint 3 professionals to go to every single person on this list, all of these papers, to go to their home and to make an exact evaluation of how much the chametz is worth, and you'll pay the deposit, and then we'll have delivery arranged, Amazon Prime, and you will pay the deposit. Fine. They come at Mitzvah Yom Tov, and they say, okay, we have to now continue, we have to hire a company to go house to house, make an evaluation, and to determine how much money you owe us for the balance. You know, I'm not really in the mood to do this anymore. You know, maybe instead of proceeding with this process, you know, I'm not in the mood. Could we just buy it back from you? Yeah, well, I'll sell it back to you. So you don't really owe us it. I mean, you just gave a deposit. The money was owed. You gave a deposit. You know what? I'll give you back the deposit. So you give him back his $20. So at the end of the day, the guy makes money because basically you give him the money. Okay, that's just a very short synopsis of how the bechira was done. But let's say the guy does not show up Mitzvah Shabbos to continue the process. He does not show up to continue the process. He's delayed. He lives far away. Everyone in your shul, they think that the rabbi is perfect. right? They think he was perfect, and they think that 9 o'clock, the sale, the rabbi brought all the chametz back. And guess what? The goy doesn't show up until 11 o'clock at night. In the meantime, all of your balabatim, they're taking chametz out of their drawers, out of the refrigerator, and they're starting to eat it. That's gezel, gezel.
What
they're stealing. What?
What
if the goy dies over Pesach? So it goes to his yarshim. If the guy dies, it goes to his yershin.
It's in the boilerplate.
It goes to his relatives. Whoever they take over the obligation.
I had a friend who's a rabbi, and the guy did not show up because they laid him around. He went right after the
Yom Kippur to Long Island. Okay, but let's say in the meantime, so no, they have to shout to Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe says, Rav Moshe, if I'm not mistaken, says, so you should put a condition into the shtar that in the event one of the Jews decides to help himself to the chametz prematurely, mitzvah yomtiv, the second yomtiv is over, one of the Jews goes into the closet and takes out that cheerio box and immediately begins to consume the cheerios before the rabbi has a chance to buy it back. Do not view this violation as gezel. Tell that to the guy. Why? Because if you view it as gezel, there's a story to say that the entire transaction is bottle lemafreya. If the Jews start helping themselves prematurely, it goes through the whole thing was a sham. It was a sham. So therefore, it's a sham. So therefore, you tell the guy, just in case, let's make it very clear now, this is what it says in the Shtar. Just in case, one of the Jews, for whatever strange reason, decides on his own that he's going to help himself to the chametz that he supposedly sold to you, we're asking you, Mr. Gentile, do not view this to be a breach in the contract. Do not view this to be a breach. We will just adjust the balance accordingly. But we ask you to make a condition with you. We're selling you. But if someone comes and steals your chametz, some Jew for whatever reason, he takes the chametz, do not consider this to be a breach in the contract. Because if it's a breach in the contract, then there's an argument to be made that there was never a transaction to begin with. The whole transaction is null and void, and that means that the Jews from the very beginning were in possession of chametz over Pesach. We don't want that. I mean, my father would tell the guy 100 times, it's yours. Under any condition, this is yours. If anything goes wrong, nothing that goes wrong can possibly be considered a breach in the contract. It's just that we'll have to reevaluate the balance. But it's yours. And the Jew is eating your chametz, and we're going to have to take that into consideration when we determine how much the balance is that we owe you for that you owe us, that you owe us for purchasing everyone's leftover Cheerios and some schnapps that no one's anyway going to drink ever. Anyway, spill out of the sink one day. That's what you tell the guy over and over. So in any event, there are a lot of things that are done, in Mechiras Chametz to protect. Now, however, unfortunately, it's very, very important, so I'm telling this now, unfortunately, I was blessed that I saw my father do a really super duper over the top job. He even had people come from very far away to watch him do it. People would come. They wanted. They come to watch, to participate.
Did you ever make a YouTube from that?
What? I have a recording. I have an audio recording. Those days, we didn't have these things. I didn't have these devices in those days. But I had my record. I recorded it a few times. I have it recorded somewhere. A few of these sessions were recorded. It was very chashuv. It was really very, very chashuv. My father learned a lot of this from Rav Nissen Alpert, Zecher Tzadik Levrach. My father learned the whole technique from him. My father used to go in the early years of Rabbanus to the Lower East Side. Erev Pesach, and basically a recent Alpert had in his possession there on, they had a pile on the table, a mound, Mamish Har Sinai, a mound on this big table in MTJ, basically all of the chametz of the entire New York City plus whole metropolitan New York, the city ended up on that table, and they all came to Rav Moshe Feinstein. In the early years, Rav Moshe probably himself did it. I don't know. In the later years, Rav Nissen Alpert did it in Rav Moshe Safier. In the presence, Rav Nissen Alpert did it in the presence of Rav Moshe, and already in the later years, Rav Moshe wasn't there anymore. Rav Moshe was either he's not well, he maybe went to Muncie, he wasn't there, and Rav Nissen Albert did it himself, and the whole Brooklyn came, all the Rabbanim of Brooklyn came, the Rabbanim of New York, the whole New York came, the Rabbanim themselves came. Once they came already, they sat there, they watched it, and he did it with class. He did it the way it was supposed to be done. He did it in a very chashuv way. My father was very intrigued. He was very impressed with this, what he did. And my father then, after Rav Moshe was nifter, which wasn't that much later, and after Rav Nissen Albert was also nifter, not much later. So my father started, instead of giving it to one of the local rabbis, my father decided to do it his own. He took a lot of time on this. Since my father was nifter, many sefarim have come out. Very chashuv sefarim. Big, thick. Very comprehensive sermon. He gave a very big topic of how to do, and unfortunately, it's very disappointing what goes on. And but the chas v'sholem to say that it's not kedasukri. Everything that's done is 100. Everything is the rabbanim. They sell the chametz. It's sold. My father just had it. He had this hanah. He did it in a very unique way. But there's no shaila. It's good. It's always good. Now, here is the discussion I want to talk about. The Chazoinish, I'll tell you what it says in the Sefer Oitzamah, but I can't find the value, maybe I can't, this Oitzamah Nachmani has a very nice piece on this. The Chazoinish, had two chumas, which both of these chumas, many people today do not do, and the Rabbanim that will tell you, there are even Rabbanim that will tell you you should not engage in these chumas. And the Chazoinish did have these chumas, and there are other gedolim. There's a very big divide in Klal Yisrael. Should you engage in these chumas? There's a pro and a con, and it seems that the minig is more you should not do these chumas. Chumah number one: do not sell chametz gomur.
Hello.
Okay.
Yes.
Do not. Okay. Do not sell. There's a chumrah not to sell chametz gomor. Why not? Because maybe when you give your chametz to the rabbi to sell, the rabbi is going to mess it up. He's not going to do a good transaction. And it happens. There are sometimes goyim, they don't know what's going on, and you watch things, you're very, what? This is how they do the mechira. And you're very disappointed. And sometimes there could be situations where the mechira really is questionable. So you do not want to have in your home over Pesach chametz. You don't want to be running into the raisa. If the chametz that you have you think is being sold, you're not mevatel, even though you do say the adanale, the lo yadanale, the chazite, the lo chazite, libotel v'lehevei haska ka'asa di'ara. Yeah, anyway, mevatel it, just in case the luchir does not go through. But, you know, deep down in your mind, you know that when Pesach is over, you're going to eat this again. So maybe you'll argue that deep down in your mind, even though you said kol chamir v'chamir, you didn't really have kavanah to sell this chametz because it's locked up in the kitchen, it's locked up in the cabinets, it's very, very expensive, and you really do want to enjoy it after Pesach is over, so you think that you're really selling it. And the truth is, deep down in your heart, you didn't have kavanah, so when Pesach is over, it turns out you were over on an Isser de Oiraisa of Baal Yeh Rohe Baal Yeh Motze. So therefore, there is such a custom by some people not to sell chometz gomor. You should clean out of your possession any real chometz in your home. And what about chometz nuksha? Chometz nuksha is something which is it's very hard to translate. It's called damaged. Nuksha means damaged. Damaged chometz. Damaged chametz means it has all of the ingredients, and conditions of chametz, but it's not necessarily real chametz. It's wheat. It's of the five minim, and the question is: did it really ferment? Did it not? Did it turn to chametz? Did it not turn to chametz? There are many different examples of chametz. It means it's not necessarily chametz gomor. That means there would not be an Isser D'Oraisa of Baal Yehro, Baal Yimotei, so that you can sell to a guy. And then there's even a Shita that holds that even if you are absolutely certain you do not possess any real chametz, you do not possess chametz Nuksha, you have no stocks, you have nothing, you should still sell your chametz to the goy through the rabbi over Pesach. That's a Rebbe Chiddush. There's such a mahalich, is that there's a minhag Yisrael, a minhag Yisrael loy pilug. Even if you are thoroughly convinced, I have nothing to sell, doesn't matter. You still go to the rabbi and you sell the rabbi the chametz. You just put your name down on the shtar, whatever chametz I own, where is it stored? Nowhere. So what are you coming to me for? Just in case. Just in case somewhere in this world I have chametz. Really? You're as poor as a church mouse.
You may have like stock or...
I have no stock. Do you have any stock?
A pension.
I have nothing. I don't have a pension. I don't have stock. I have a penny to my name. My shver gives me every penny that I have. I have nothing. Yeah. It doesn't matter. You still... There is a minhag. Not everyone does this. Not everyone does this, but there is definitely a minhag Yisrael. You sell your chametz to goy no matter what. There is such a thing. So the chazan, now even those who do sell, there is a minhag. The chazanish talks about this minhag, and he does it. You don't sell to a goy real chametz, bread, cookies, mezonos. Real chametz don't sell. You sell chametz nuksha, like it's like whiskey. Whiskey is not real chametz. It's not real chametz. It's called damaged chametz. You don't drink it on Pesach, but it's not chametz gomer. It's not the real. There's no issachoris for drinking whiskey on Pesach. And other types of products like that. You can't really.
And after Pesach?
What?
Whiskey after Pesach. You didn't sell it.
No, then you're not allowed to. No. We treat it like chametz and you have to sell them. It's chametz she'ovar olova Pesach. But you have to still sell it. You still must sell it. You have to be machmir. Okay, now, so we have over here, so there's such a minhag. Why is there a minhag like this? The reason, it's very clear, the only reason why there is such a minhag is because unfortunately, not every mechira is valid. Okay, now there's another chumra. This chumra you don't hear about anymore today. You really don't hear about this chumra today. And that is, Pesach is over. Do not buy chametz. Tremendous chumra, but it was very common years ago. Do not buy chametz that was sold to a goy over Pesach. In other words, don't go to any of the frum stores here. Don't go to the bakery. Don't go to the pizza shop. Mitzoy shop. Every single pizza shop in Flatbush has chametz over Pesach. Exactly. The balabais.
The bash doesn't.
What?
The bash doesn't.
Who doesn't?
Bash.
They have no chametz?
They have nothing.
They have nothing? Where did they get the flour? It's so young.
No stuff.
Where did they get it from? When did they buy it? When did they take delivery?
You're not
probably realistic. What? On Cholamoy? Erev Yom Tov, they have flour, and they have all the ingredients, which can possibly be chametz. Flour is not necessarily chametz. What? Not necessarily chametz. Dry flour, you can't say it's chametz. You can't say it's chametz, but if it doesn't have a hechsher, if it's not, if there's no shmira, you have to be machmir. You have to be machmir. It might be chametz. There are many bakeries. They might not tell. They already have the dough already made to go, and it's in the freezer, all ready to go for the. Okay, they're very good. They're yichidim. Why? They're das yach. I'm assuming that most pizza shops have dough ready to go for the first batch of people who bang down the doors to get rid of these people, to get rid of these sakonis nefashos, to get rid of them. So you have dough in the freezer ready to go. Just put it into the oven. So if what do they do in this bakery? They sold their chametz to a goy. They have a rabbi. They have a choshev rav. And they go to the Rebbe before Pesach. We have a pizza shop. We have a bakery. Or we have a grocery store. Pomegranate. Doesn't have a ton of chametz stashed away. Mayor. They don't have chametz? Of course they have chametz. Every single grocery store.
Yep.
Milmart. Moshe's. Glatmart. Pomegranate. And all the bakeries. Well, you can tell them they don't have chametz in the store? They surely have chametz.
Every last drop of bread and cake they had absolutely nothing left over.
They have no product in the whole store that's chametz.
They had to get a special
no crackers.
Just for Friday morning to have enough
They have no crackers. They have no product. Wow, what a chiddush. What a chiddush.
I mean, it's a chumrah. It's a terrible
It's a pella. They can do business like this.
Yeah, some people do.
In today's climate, you can survive like this. Unbelievable. Okay, very nice. It's not mitzvah that you go on Avenue J, Avenue M, and you go down, that these stores have a massive inventory. Massive inventory of chametz, and they sell it. Well, you go into Pomegranate. Well, how come all the shelves are covered? How come you go to Glamour? You go to any store? You go to Mountain Foods. Mountain Foods. The whole of the store is covered. What's going on? What you gonna tell me? There's no chametz in there. Everything is chametz nuksha. Everything is a chashash. Maybe yeah, maybe not. Just in case. It's this chametz. There's definitely chametz gomer stashed away in these stores. What do? They have a rav, a chash of a rav, and they write in the shtar with selling all the chametz in the store. Wonderful. Now Pesach is over. I go in today. I go down the shelf and I see some crackers, some pretzels. And these pretzels were in the store over Pesach. It's just that it was sold to a goy. There was such a chumrah, and some people maybe practice this, I can't imagine anyone can live like this today, that you don't buy chametz that was sold to a goy over Pesach. You don't buy chametz. Even though the chametz was sold to a guy, but I'm a tzaddik. I will not buy chametz that was sold by another Jew, that was sold by a Jew to a guy over Pesach, because the same way I would not sell to a guy chametz gomor. Because I'm afraid that maybe the transaction was invalid, so I'm not willing to take any risks. I'm not going to leave in my home chametz gomor and to sell to the guy. I'm also afraid that the balabas of this store, even though he's a nice guy and he has a wonderful rabbi, but you don't know what really happens. What the reality of life is not as what you think it is. And when it comes to Pesach, the halacha is to be machmir to an extreme. Chametz is also b'mashu. Chametz is also b'hana. Chametz achilas chametz is kores. And the chumras of chametz are not just on Pesach. It extends after Pesach. Chametz she'ovar olav ha-Pesach is also b'achila, also b'hana, even if you were an oines. That's Shulchan Aruch. Even if it was not my fault. It's not my fault. I thought the chametz was sold, and it turns out the chametz was not sold, and it's no one's fault. No one is going to get punished for this. But the bottom line is, it's chametz she'over alav ha-Pesach, and it's osur. It's osur to eat. So who knows? Even though everyone's a tzaddik, and everyone's a nice guy, and I'm not chush anyone, you never know what really happens. And because Pesach is a zman of chumras, chametz is osur bashu, rechiv of kares, the chumrah, even the chametz she'ovar olav ha-Pesach is not kares. Let's not get carried away here. It's even more, there's not even a loisase. It's only a kenas. It's a takonas chazal, but it's a very serious kenas. I don't want to take risks. I don't take risks. So therefore, I will not buy chametz from any one of the grocery stores who had that chametz in their possession, had that chametz before Pesach, and sold it to a Gentile over Pesach and bought it back, because I'm afraid the transaction was invalid. And the chetz of chametz is a chametz she'ovar alav ha-Pesach, and if I'm going to eat it, I am in violation of a kenas, a takana of chazal. You got it. Hit the nail on the head. You got it. This is something that, without question, was common in I don't know how many hundreds of years ago, but not that long ago. This is something that was very, very common. And I don't have a favor in front of me. I can show you chapter and verse with all the different kilos that did this. Two chumras. Number one, you yourself do not sell chametz gomer to a goy. Number two, do not buy chametz that was sold to a goy over Pesach, which is knock out in this neighborhood every single store. I'm not even talking about going to ShopRite. Okay, I'm not talking about that. Because talking about ShopRite, there, who owns ShopRite? Who owns it? They had put out a bulletin. Yeah, Rising. Rising put out a bulletin. The bulletin of...
Wakefern.
Okay,
yeah, but it's a franchise.
There is a franchise. Who owns all of the major shopping chains?
No, but they have Wakefern has stores.
Suppliers.
We're
not even talking about that. I'm not even going there. That's another whole shaila. Are you out of the buying ShopRite? Do Jews own ShopRite? Who exactly owns ShopRite? Is it a franchise? You go into a grocery store. They sell candies by the counter. They sell this. Who's the balabas here? It's a franchise. How does it work in halacha? There's a big board. There's a company. There's stock. It's a public company. But every company there's also partial ownership. And who's the supplier? They get it right now. They get supplies every single day. Who's the supplier? There are three major suppliers in Brooklyn. The three major suppliers are owned by Jews. Are Jews who don't sell their chametz to a guy. So all the food. I'm not even going there. I'm talking about mountain fruits. I'm talking about Glatmar. Pomegranate. I'm talking about stores that are owned by Jews. They for sure sold their chametz to a guy. And they bought their chametz back. Are you allowed to go eat this food? Are you allowed to go? So, of course we all do so. There's no question we all do so. But you know something? If our great-great-grandparents would see us going into Glamar today buying chametz, they wouldn't believe it. This is not our minug. Don't you know our minug was back in the Haim? We didn't do that. This is not the minug Yisrael. What are you guys doing over here? Okay, now first, I'm going to explain very first. Let's go to the problem. First of all, between these two chumras, there's a world of a difference. Not selling chametz to a guy is on a much, much higher level of chumrah, of seriousness, than not going in today to Mountain Food and buying some pretzels that were baked before Pesach.
Not
after Pesach. Before Pesach. What's the difference? The difference is very simple. The difference is, if I sell chametz to a guy, Rabbi Yisrael, please, if I sell real chametz to a guy, and it turns out that the transaction was not valid, who was over on the Issa? I was over on the Issa. I had in my possession, over Pesach, real chametz. If I have in my home bread, crackers, pretzels, real chametz, and I sell it to the guy, and it turns out that the guy, it wasn't a good transaction for whatever crazy reason. You know what it means? I was oiver on an iser de oiraitza of bal ye roe and bal ye motzi. Now let us see, now let us have your possession chametz. It was my chametz. I did an avera. Forget about eating it. You know, I don't want to get involved in doing averas. Pesach, even though I'm a very lenient person, I'll do anything you want me to do. Pesach gets me nervous. Because Pesach, chametz, also b'mashu, b'zachiv kores. Pesach is a time to be machmir. So you know what? I don't want to take a risk of being oiver bal yeiru bal yeimotze, which is an iser de'oiraisa, a loisase. But the other chumrah is a lightweight chumrah. Whose chametz is this? The person who owns mountain fruit. Guy who owns mountain fruit, he has chametz, right? He has chametz. If the transaction was no good, chas v'shalom, was I over Bal Yeru Bal Yeimotze? No! It wasn't my problem, it's his problem. If the transaction was invalid, I didn't do anything wrong, he did something wrong. Is the chametz also midoraisa? No. It's a knas. There's a takonas chazal. Chomet she'ovar olov ha-pesach. You're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to have hana. Whether it was, even if it was an accident. And even if it's his, not mine. You're still not allowed to eat. But it's not also midaraisa. And I didn't do anything wrong. So for me now to go and accuse you, you maybe didn't sell or didn't do good mechira, and therefore I'm not going to buy it, it's a very big chumrah. And besides, what are you doing anyway? It's his problem. If he didn't do a good transaction, it's his problem. So he was overvaluable, it's not me. So is it Osir Midaraisa to eat his bread? No, it's not. But it's a takonis chazal. It's a kenas. No, a kenas. I could assume everything went kedasu chedin I'm going to go today and buy a bag of pretzels from Mountain Fruit. Just because you're willing to buy a bag of pretzels from Mountain Fruit doesn't mean you're willing to have in your possession a bag of pretzels and sell it to the guy. Because if I sell it to the guy, even though, see, both of these reasons are really the same. Both of these chumras are because of the concern that the transaction was a sham. But even though both of these chumras are for the same reason, there's a big difference between the two. If the transaction was invalid and I had in my possession chametz, I was either on an isur d'oraisa bali or bali matzah. If the transaction was invalid and I go to the store and I buy his chametz, I was never over bali or bali matzah. The food is not forbidden in the Torah. The only thing is I'm in violation of a kenas, a penalty that the rabbis imposed upon bread that was not sold to a guy, that was in someone's possession. I'm willing to take a risk. I'm willing to assume that the transaction was indeed valid. So just because today, and now the reason why I'm telling you this is because today is clear as day, there are many people today, either because of ignorance or because of they have taka mesorah, they follow, that they do not sell chametz to a guy. There are many people like this. They will not have in their home real chametz. They don't want to get involved. They don't want to sell chametz to a guy. They will not do this. But these people, the same people that will not sell chametz to the guy, have zero problem going into a pizza shop mitzvay Pesach, knowing firsthand that the dough was fully prepared, ready to go, sitting in the freezer, waiting for Mitzvah Yom Tov for the rabbi to buy back the chametz, and then you're going to eat that pizza. Honestly, did not sell your chametz to the rabbi, to the guy, because you don't want to have in your possession. Yes, these guys online. I understand. What you're going, you're buying. Don't you know that in this pizza store, the chametz was sold to the guy? It was its chametz. Did you sell chametz to the guy over Pesach? No, I'm a tzaddik. I wouldn't sell my chametz, real chametz. I cleaned out the whole house. Because I don't trust these rabbis. I'm afraid they don't make good transactions. They don't know what they're doing. They're not milumid. They're not Yale lawyers. The Yale lawyers anyway don't know what they're doing. The Harvard lawyers know what they're doing. The Yale lawyers are all for all the politician wannabes. But they don't know this stuff. They don't know how to make transactions. So I wouldn't sell real chametz to a guy through my rabbi. My rabbi is a good darshan. He's not a good lawyer. Really? You know who the rabbi who sold the chametz for this pizza store is? You know who's the rabbi? Your rabbi. Your rabbi. It's your rabbi is the rabbi who sold the chametz for this pizza store. So excuse me, so why is it that you just told me when you're waiting online, have this conversation, people waiting online with Tzai Pesach to buy the pizza in the pizza store. Why is it you refuse to sell chametz to the guy because you don't trust your rabbi, but your rabbi is the one who sold the chametz of this pizza store to the guy? So that means that this pizza here, according to your criminal logic, it's chametz she'ovar alava Pesach. And now you're going, you're waiting online to do a terrible avera, to be over on a takon of the chazal made, the chametz she'ovar alava Pesach is osur behana, no matter what, even if it was accidental, and even if it belongs to someone else, no matter what. You got him. You got the guy, you steer b'nei obey. You wouldn't want to sell your own chametz. It's not a steer. Because the reason why you don't want to sell your chametz to the guy is because if the transaction did not go through, then it turns out that you were over on an iser de oraisa. If the chametz did not go through for the pizza store, that's the pizza store's problem. That's his problem, not my problem. I am not being over on an iser de oraisa. The most I can be over on is violating a kenas of the chachamim. So it's not the same madrega. Now, all of this is something we have to emphasize very, very heavily. Very heavily. This minhag of not selling chametz gomer to a goy and not even buying from a Jew chametz that the Jew sold to a goy over Pesach, many poskim say does not apply bizman hazeh, because when the minig of selling chametz to a goy first began, this is historically documented, every yukel did it himself. Every guy, you got a house, you have a goy next door, you call him over, I want to sell you my chametz, give me some, give me a dollar, or whatever, give me a ruble, whatever currency they were using. It was not standardized. The minute of going to the Rav, and the Rav being the shaliach to sell the chametz, kedasu chadim, first came about because people, Rabbanim saw, people did not know what they were doing. When you make a legal transaction with a guy, there are many complicated halachas. Kinyan meshicha, kinyan kesef, kinyan agav, you have to sell the chametz, you have to rent the location where the chametz is resting, and you have to know which kinyanim to make for karka, what kinyanim to make for metalkalin, mois kinyanis, meshicha, kinyan agav, simtusa, hagbah. It's very complicated how to make the mechira. And in the early years, a lot of people didn't know what they were doing. And a lot of people saw that many of the transactions were mamish null and void. They were not even transactions.
There was a big malchokas in Brody. The Rav there, there was another one, got from the Shver, got it, hired another brother for assistant. And the minhag ha'makom was that the Rav was the only one who was allowed to sell it. And the other Rav came and said, you can sell it as a yosef too.
So you see how explosive this was, because why they wanted to standardize, because a lot of people got out of hand, people did not know what they were doing. It was a little ignorance. So therefore it developed this minhag. You know what? It's such a nightmare. Don't sell to a guy real chametz, because the chances are it's not going to be a good transaction. However, many persons say today that's not the case. It's already been an honored minhag already for generations when you go to the Rav. And the Rav is not a Rav for nothing. The Rav knows what he's doing. And adarabba, by not selling chametz gomor, you'd be moitzi laz al harishon. Yeah, there's many places, many different times. By you being more machmir today, it's like you're saying that your grandparents were Amaratzim. It's an insult to the previous generations where they sold, they did sell chametz gomor. They weren't as affluent as people are today.
Exactly.
They didn't have the ability to go drop everything and run to Florida and who do all these things and run around the world in private jets and all these things in Florida. They didn't have this new kind of wealth. And every morsel of bread made a very big difference. And they sold their chametz to a guy. And for you to come along and say, no, I'm not going to sell my chametz to a guy because the rabbi doesn't know what he's doing. First of all, it's a terrible insult to the Rav, that the Rav that you hired doesn't know the basic halachas of how to sell the chametz to a guy. And you're being mighty last on the kadmonim. And as a rabbi, you should show your confidence to the Rav. Sell the Rav. Sell through the Rav. Chametz gomor. Rav, I trust you with my life. It's an expression of emunas chachomim. It's a pella. Emunas chachomim. Rav, I hold from you. You're a Talmud Chacham. You're my rabbi. I hold from you. Here's chametz. Chametz gomor. Bal yiro, bal yimotze. There's a chi of kares if I eat this. But rabbi, I trust you with my life. You go to a surgeon, you trust the surgeon with your life. You let a guy cut you open? You trust him with your life. I trust you. Chametz gomor, sell it for me. I have faith in you. And as a rabbi, you go to the store to buy something in mountain food. It's a code for the rabbanim. That's right. It was sold kedasu chadin, and that is the minhag today. And many gedolim who say that the minhag was not this, that has expired. That was only referring to shanim kadmonios, where individuals on their own would sell. I remember my father had a balabah. The father was so into this. I remember there was one very chashva, it was a younger man, it was a very chashva. My father was very close with him. And in this inyan, he didn't know very much, and he was telling him where he works. He has some chametz. He has a little section where he keeps his coffee and this and that. So it's all he really has. So he says, so he said to my father, you know, I'll just sell one of my coworkers. I'll just sell it to him. So I saw my father's eyes pop out. No. You don't sell him nothing. You don't know what you're doing. How are you going to sell it to him? What are you going to do? You're going to go tell him, give me a dollar? He's going to do hasbah, meshicha. What about the makam? You know you have to rent the place. How are you going to rent the place? You own the place. You leave this to the rabbis. The rabbis got this all figured out. The common man doesn't know the first thing, how to engage a Gentile in a legal halachic transaction. No, you'll say din de malchus dina. Yeah. When it comes to Pesach, you don't play around. Comes to Pesach, you do it kidas uchedin, and it's not so simple. The kinyanim that work by a goy are not the same kinyanim. It's not the same kinyanim that work by a Yisrael, and you have them. So these are the two very big chumas, the two chumas of really of to begin with Yisrael. And again, these chumas were really much more common practice in previous generations. Today it is not acceptable. As a rabbi, today to go buy chametz from a store, a Jewish store that sold their chametz to a goy over Pesach, there's no shayla you can go and you can buy the chametz. Okay, there's no inyan to be machmir whatsoever. There are still people today that don't sell chametz to a goy. I don't know why. Rav Aaron Kahlo held that you should, you can. Rav Aaron Kahlo was famous for saying that. There's no reason why you can't sell chametz gomor. There are still, and also I'm not familiar with the Hasidic world, but Sanz. Okay, Sanz is a very big dynasty, which includes many, many breakoffs. I don't know the shalshalis of all the different types of things. The whole mishpach of Sanz, they all sell chometz gomor to a guy. The Litvaks, the Kalta Litvaks, I don't know why they don't sell chometz. They don't like, even though Rav Aaron Kotler was famous for saying yes, sell chometz gomor to a guy. I have all these yeshiva guys. They don't sell chametz to a guy. They don't sell real chametz to a guy. All right, none of my business. And there is mekoris for this, but the mekoris seem to really come from the problem that when yechidim would sell chametz to a guy, it was problematic.
So what do they do if they do have chametz someplace and they didn't realize it? They just say.
So basically, you're in a lot of trouble. Basically, it all goes into the garbage. Unless the only exceptions are hefsid meruba, has to be a very, very big hefsid. The only had teremar, a very big hefsid, and it was an oinis. It was a real accident. For example, some of the classic cases are rabbi sells for all the balabatim, and then they're using a guy, and there was really no way to know that he's really Jewish. They discover years later that this guy, his mother, is Jewish. Elvis's mother is Jewish. Okay? That's why all the Jewish girls went to the concert. They like Elvis's mother, he was Jewish. Who would ever imagine Cardinal O'Connor is Jewish? Remember Cardinal O'Connor? A cardinal. He rose all the way to a cardinal. He would have been the Pope. If the Pope would have died, you know, in the right time, he would have been mamish candidate number one to be the Pope. He's Jewish. Would you believe it? They found that after he died, that his mother was Jewish. Would you believe that? How you talking? You sell the chametz. You can't get better than selling to the cardinal of New York City, right? And now you find out that he's Jewish. He's Jewish. So that means it was chametz owned by a yid over Pesach. It's chametz all over Pesach. What do you do now? Paiskim say that this is an exception, even though it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's a pella. It says in Shulchan Aruch that it's osur bein be'oines, bein be'rotzon, bein b'shoigeg, bein b'mezid. It's a kenas. It is an extension of the chumra of Pesach, of chiyuv kares, of chametz osur b'mashu, chametz she'ovalo Pesach is osur for yourself, for someone else, bein be'oines, and there's almost no exception. Yet there is an exception. Hefsid merubah, but only a type of hefsid merubah where you really did everything in your possession to sell the chametz. What are those examples? Where you thought you sold the chametz, you sold all the shtaros, and some crazy thing happened where some really crazy thing happened. Yeah, it was only where the price can say where you actually went through the motions of selling the chametz. I sold the chametz. I went to the rabbi. I filled all the shtaros. And then some crazy, the rabbi, he conked out. Erev Pesach, he conked out. He was taken away to the hospital. And before people turned around, it was Pesach. So I went through the motions. You have chametz, you have Cheerios in your closet, throw it in the garbage. I have in my closet $1,000 bottle of see, chametz nuksha is also an exception. If it's chametz nuksha, if it's not chametz gomor, there's also you make like chametz nuksha. Or but let's say if chametz gomor, you have whatever, then if you went through the motions of selling it and something crazy happened, either the guy was really a Jew, or whatever, the mechira was not able to take place due to some type of unusual circumstance, and it's a hefsid merubah, then the place can say you can be lenient. You can be, otherwise, you're not allowed to be lenient. All the chametz has to be, disposed of, destroyed. Now, another shayla is, interesting shayla, what about a child? This is a very big shayla, which is really, there's no answer. There's a big machlokes ha'paiskim, and it's very relevant. A child. Children, this is very relevant today. Rabbi Reisen sent out this bulletin. I don't know, maybe from Kila Kashrus, they sent a bulletin. In this community where we live in, we are, Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of food stores. Don't take anything for granted. Baruch Hashem, we have stores that have food on the shelves. Chastei Hashem Kilei Samu. And not every store is a Jewish store. And I don't know all these, I'm reading all these stores. I don't know these stores. I don't recognize any of these stores, these suppliers. But obviously people that have big families, they know this stuff is second nature to them. There are a lot of non-kosher big supermarkets in this neighborhood. Okay, go even into a pharmacy, they sell some basic stuff. They sell, you go every store, everywhere, wherever you go, they're not. These non-kosher stores, question is, first of all, who is the owner of this store? Are they Jewish or non-Jewish? Number two, even if they're non-Jewish, they're getting supplies. They're suppliers. The suppliers, there are three major suppliers, and it seems from this bulletin, they're Jewish. So it's a very, very big problem. It's really a problem, and I don't know how to navigate. So the problem, the best solution is you buy the Baruch Hashem. We're very, very blessed in this neighborhood. There are plenty, a dime a dozen of kosher grocery stores, like Mountain Fruit and like Moshe's and Pomegranate and Chol HaNilvim Olav. And those stores, everything there is good. They know what they're doing. Those stores usually are good. So you wait until the summertime. You wait, whatever. So you like going to you follow the bulletin. You have to follow the rules. Whatever, so by the when do the suppliers already have new stock, and you go Basar Roiv, you don't have to go have any serial numbers, you go Basar Roiv, there's certain rules, you wait until the beginning of the summer. Beginning of the summer already, it's already a turnover, then everything is ready kosher. Everything
okay,
already,
7 weeks,
what?
Six,
even less?
Till
Shavuos. Even Shavuos, even less, fine. Shavuos already is beginning of the summer, come on. Fine, so then, again, not every store, you have to follow, just read the bulletin very carefully. People who shop in these stores, you learn very quickly what to do. It's not just not in this neighborhood, Baruch Hashem, we don't have such a big problem in this neighborhood. But let's say you live out of town, okay, out of New York, it's a problem. It's not so easy. What about your children under bar mitzvah? It's a very, very big shaila. You know as a fact that the owner of the grocery store is Jewish, and he couldn't care less. He's not a religious person, and he is chomet she'ovar olava pesach. I don't eat Cheerios. But my 5-year-old eats Cheerios. Are you mechuyev in the chumrah of chametz she'ovar alav ha-pesach for kitani? Is there a din of chinuch? Is there a din of chinuch on chametz she'ovar alav ha-pesach? Many poskim want to be mechadesh, tremendous chiddush. There's no din chinuch. Child, there's nothing wrong with the chametz. The chametz, to be chayv in chametz, you have to be a bar chiyuva over Pesach, so that after Pesach, oh, the knas, a child was not a bar chiyuva over Pesach, So you should say that we should be koines the child after Pesach for chomech of over Pesach. The laws of chinuch are one time, the tremendous din, like a whole long shavar in chinuch, give a whole bar mitzvah pshat on what is chinuch. Chinuch is right here and now. Right here and now. You have a lulav v'neshuk. Oh, you have a little kid. Chinuch. Teach the kid how to shake the lulav v'neshuk. Shofar. Teach him how to blow shofar. Chomei Shavu Lava Pesach is not now. Chomei Shavu Lava Pesach is a process. There was Chomei over Erev Pesach. You did not sell the Chomei. It was Shavu Lava Pesach. And now there's a consequence. And now we tell this child, you know, you can't eat that. Because it's Chomei Shavu Lava Pesach. Many poskim can say the laws of Chinuch do not extend into such a domain of wherein Isur is a result of an Avera that was done over time from a previous time, and it's not even yours, it's someone else's. The Vela is a Vela now. It's but not because an Avera was done in the past. Because that's the fundamental difference between a Nevela and Chometz over Pesach. On Pesach, can you feed a child Chometz? No. Of course not. A Chometz over Pesach. Is there anything wrong with the Chometz? No. It's because somebody did an Avera a while ago. Sheish, Erev Pesach, Chatzos, Hayoyim, the Chometz wasn't so. So now it became Masa Bahana, and now it's Sho'over over Pesach. Does the mitzvah of chinuch go so wide to say that this child has to suffer because of a kenas that someone did an avera, 6 months ago? So now the chametz, the ches of chametz of a kenas, and now the adults are not allowed to eat it. So there are a lot of grounds for leniency for children. Now, Baruch Hashem, it's not much nogea in this community, because in this community there are so many options. But if you go out of town, and you go to your local ShopRite, or whatever you want to call it, yeah, and you have little children, and you have to buy, you know, candy, and cereal, and formula, and all these things that they need to eat, and the owner of the store is Jewish, or the supplier is Jewish, and you're going to go start telling parents, no. This is Chomei Sho'over Lava Pesach. So don't buy this for your 5-year-old, for your 10-year-old. Not so pashut. It's not so clear. Many poskim can say there's no such thing. Chomei she'ovar lava pesach, there is no din chinuch. You can't feed your children chomei on Pesach. You can't feed them the veils or trevas. You have to have a heksher. You can't go to the counter and just take any candy you want and eat it. You got to tell the child, if it's not kosher, it's not kosher. You just can't pick up a candy off the counter. You go to a goyish store. It's not kosher, it's not kosher. It's a hefts of tarfos. It's treif. There's nothing wrong with Cheerios. It's kosher. It's kosher. It's because the balabas is not a Shema Shabbos. And he doesn't know what to do. And there's a tinnik shenishva. And he didn't sell the chametz. And now it's after Pesach. So you want to be koines to child because of a ma'isa shehoya from a previous gilgul, from a previous zman? Does the mitzvah of chinuch go so far? Again, it's a machloikes ha-poskim. And the mokayim, that you don't have other options, you can be makel. Okay, Rabbi, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.
Hello. Oh my. No, I'm just